Our true home is in heaven, and the promise made to Abram, later to be called Abraham, is ours through Jesus Christ. Jesus, who gives three of his apostles, the inner circle, if you will, a most glorious preview of what is to come. Jesus fulfills the promise made so many centuries prior. And Jesus offers freedom to us who are in slavery to sin, and offers it to us via the cross. We cannot have the glory of heaven, our home, without the suffering of our cross. And as our true home is in heaven, we may sometimes feel that we are in exile here. When we see that war and poverty continue to be scourges of daily life for so many around the world, when we see that addiction, illness, and violence is a crime in our own community, and when we see that the words of Jesus Christ seem to be falling on deaf ears everywhere and always, we can feel very far away from that home. Lent, which we are now one quarter through, is that time when our crosses may feel the heaviest. And it is also the time when we are called to draw ever nearer to the Lord, to get to know him better, to understand what God is calling us to sacrifice and improve upon, what to let go of, that we may make strides to the kingdom that by our baptism we may be granted. And that requires trust. Trust only comes in a close relationship. Our Heavenly Father, through his Son Jesus' revelation of himself to us, asks us to trust his word, his sacrifice, and his mercy. He asks us to trust the promise of glory that today we hear he gives to Peter, James, and John, and to us by way of them. There is a covenant put in place in our first reading, and a preview of a covenant in our gospel. And God does not make covenants that he breaks. That trust was shared in faith by Abram. Deep sleep, a commonality for Abram and for the three apostles today. A deep silence, which allows God to communicate effectively, to bypass our ever busy minds. Indeed, the covenant that is created between God and Abraham foreshadows the covenant with Moses, the Passover, the sacrifice of spotless animals, the pigeons used by the poor. Mary and Joseph dedicated Jesus at the temple by sacrificing pigeons. Giving of the best to God is a sign of our devotion to the covenant, which he offers us completely out of grace. And Peter, James, and John are a lot like we are during this time with Jesus. They have seen wondrous things. Even Peter has confessed his belief, in progress as it is, that Jesus is the Messiah. And in Luke, the transfiguration follows the first prediction of Jesus that he will suffer, die, and rise again. Peter had already been rebuked. Jesus still brings him up the mountain with him. And what they see rising from their slumber excites and terrifies them. Jesus giving them a preview of his glorified body with Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets, conversing with him. Peter, always the first to act, not always the first to think, says, let's get three tents or three tabernacles. Let's stay here. This is good. But what Peter failed to understand in that moment is that this was not a meeting of equals. Jesus is the fulfillment of a prophecy of men and women represented by Elijah. Jesus is the fulfillment, the author of the law represented by Moses. Jesus is God. God is self-sustaining, self-sufficient, yet chooses to extend his glory to his creation. There would be more stumbles along the way for Peter, James, and John and the other apostles. There are stumbles for us daily. That they advance so quickly speaks to Jesus' presence, his abundance amongst them. He taught them by word and example of living the sacrifices that would be demanded for eternal life. It was to the apostles, it is to us, an almost contradictory way to live. Accept suffering, accept sacrifice. Why? When it can be so easily avoided. Enter St. Paul in our second reading. The theme being from slavery to freedom describes that there are those who conduct themselves as enemies of the cross, whose stomach is their God, who glory in their shame. Eat and drink, for tomorrow we die, huh? Freedom in the contemporary often means being allowed to do what I want to do as long as I don't hurt anybody else. It is a flawed ethos. For we, as St. Paul often reminds us, by our baptism are one body of Christ. My sins do not only damage me, they damage you and you and you and you and you, and vice versa. Since the beginning, since Adam and Eve, down through Noah and Abraham, Moses and David, through Elijah and all the prophets, through the apostles and the martyrs and the saints that followed, have these conflicting philosophies been given? Worship God and deny oneself, or satisfy ourselves and leave the scraps for the rest? That, brothers and sisters, is the decision that gets put before us no more clearly than during Lent. We are being asked not to leave anything in the dark, to bring it all to the Lord. Remember, we've been given this ability, this free will, to choose Him or not. We've been given these fantastic minds that make such technological strides that have made our world, vast as it is, so much smaller. We've also been tempted and have fallen to the temptation to do wrong and then make justifications and excuses. There's a great line, I believe it's St. John Henry Newman that said this: all righteous men and women, we are here in church worshiping the Lord. There's some righteousness here. All righteous men and women, first to please themselves without displeasing God. Please themselves without displeasing God. Jesus, who in His will deigned to create us, deigned to give us the free will to choose Him, who left us His life and His words as our pathway, doesn't want just part of us. He wants all of us. He wants our every action to be an imitation of His sacrifice, His emptying of Himself for our sake. He wants us to trust Him. He wants what He has said, what He has done. The glory that He has shown to Peter, James, and John today is the glory that He promises us. And again, God does not make empty promises. By our baptism, we are in this new and eternal covenant sealed by Jesus' body and blood. We partake in it. And when we fall short, He offers us His mercy, usually at the low, low price of one Our Father, one Hail Mary, and one Glory Be. Changing our ways and our habits, growing in virtue for most of us, can be an intimidating task. The glory of God, His power and love beyond all telling, can inspire fear. It did in the apostles today. Can I leave behind my sinful ways? Am I willing to suffer the hardships, the setbacks, the frustration, the humiliation? Am I willing to go to confession? Can I do this day after day after day? Jesus tells us 365 times in the scriptures to be not afraid. Our Heavenly Father implores us today in the gospel, this is the Messiah, this is my Son Jesus. Listen to Him. On our own, brothers and sisters, we can do only so much. But with God's help, we can do all that He asks. Trust in His love and mercy. Trust that the sacrifices and the growth that we seek during Lent is pleasing in His eyes, that will not be in vain. And trust that the glory that He promises us is so far beyond our understanding and so worth the effort He asks us to put forth.